This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Vayner Nation, how are you? Really nice to be live with you. As I've told all of you, a limited year of interviews, but that is because I'm so deep in NFT land. And what I get to do today really excites me because I think there is a brewing phenomenon in NFT land on multiple fronts. One is funding and the way the world works, and two is photography. And my guest today really tickled my fancy when I saw what she was up to, because she hit on both fronts, in my opinion. And we're going to ask her about that. We're going to talk about it. Full disclosure, I'm a proud owner of many of the NFTs, hence how I always work. If I believe in something, I want to be involved with it. And now we get to talk to the masterful mind behind it. Julie Pacino, how are you?
I'm good, Gary. Thank you so much for having me. How's it going?
It's going super well. For the people out there that don't know you, please give me the kind of, you know, comic book number one, the backstory, the give us 2-3 good minutes here on who you are.
Sure. So hi, my name is Julie Pacino. I'm a photographer and filmmaker. And my background is primarily in film. So I've been producing for about 12 years. And over the past, I would say like 4 years, I really shifted and started focusing on directing. In the independent film world, when it comes to producing, it's quite a grind. And so I think I started to become a little bit burnt out from producing content for other people. You know, I love producing. I love the game of it. But at my core, I'm an artist. And so there was a side of me that I wasn't really
right. You had both sides, right? You had the creative side and the operational production side. So you were getting fulfilled on the production side and being an operator, but you were doing other people's creative. Thus your creative part was like, I want to get a chance.
Yeah. Because I mean, I've always been a writer and a photographer. And so like I had been writing screenplays the entire time that I was producing other people's screenplays. And sure, I was involved in the creative process, which was great, but I had my own stories I wanted to tell. And so over the past few years, I've shifted focus and really made a point to only produce stuff that I had written that I was also directing. And so I did that by directing short films. So I just would like bang out as many short films as I possibly could to figure out what my voice was as a director. And all the while during making these short films, I'd take photographs during the rehearsal process. And that kind of ties into my life as an NFT photographer filmmaker. But yeah, so, you know, I made a bunch of shorts. You know, the first handful were shitty, and I learned from them, and it was amazing.
What did you learn from them?
I learned that it's really challenging to take something that's in your head or on the page and translate it to what's on the screen. There's a real craft in that. That is the art of directing. In my humble opinion. And so like that just takes practice, right? Like that's just trial and error of having a vision, doing what you think needs to be done to execute that vision, and then seeing if it worked, seeing what the finished product looks like. So that takes time, you know. My most recent short though, it's called Harmony and Gold, and it wound up looking better than what I had in my mind. And so like when I achieved that, I felt okay, I'm ready to do a feature. And yeah, I got into the NFT space about a year ago. My Genesis drop was in October, which was a series of 100 photographs that I took at the Madonna Inn Hotel. Amazing location. And those photos inspired the screenplay for what's now going to be my first feature film. And also for the photos of Keepers of the Inn, right? We took almost 3,400 photos during the rehearsal process of that movie and dropped them as NFTs. As you know, as a means to get the film funded, and as well as trigger some other grants to onboard more women into the NFT space, more film female filmmakers.
I love that. Hold on one second, everybody who's listening. Dustin, do we have some audio problems on my end? Interesting. Give me one second. How about now? How about now?
Hold on, I might have to just stop it.
Do Do we want to do that? Or yeah, let's just keep it going. Can you guys hear me? Okay, we'll just keep it going. Awesome. Let's keep that part in the podcast. I want everybody to know everything I believe in, full transparency. Big shout out to Justin and Seth for helping us. Julie, let's keep it going. So let's talk about photography NFTs. So I think one of the things that attracted me to your project is I was just going down rabbit holes of people that were in photography and were active in the NFT community. I saw you very active. Then Phil Toronto, our mutual homies, like, I love Julie. I was like, okay, I got to actually get around to really pay. If you're a friend of Phil's, you're a friend of mine. I got to really look at this. And then when I kind of finally had a second to breathe and look at it, I'm like, wait a minute. This is also tied into movie making. I'm very hot on music and books being funded through NFT projects. Of course, I believe in scripts, movies, and television shows being the same. But before we get into that film stuff, I want to talk about just photography NFTs. What's your take? Do you agree with me that there's a real potential? Obviously, when we look at the real world, art is a bigger market than photography art, but photography art's a son of a bitch. It's big. I fucking spent a ton of money on an Andy Warhol fucking Kodak little of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, like, and then, you know, there's obviously my dear friend from college, Dustin Bingham. His father was the legendary Howard Bingham, who was one of the iconic black photographers, and I know his work. So, you know, A, can you educate me, because I'm not that educated on how big the real world photography collecting world is, or maybe that's not your expertise. And B, what do you think about photography NFT? Because you could have done this for the movie, not through photography. You could have done it through art or drawings or doodle NFTs. Take us home on that.
Yeah, I mean, the choice to do this with photography was organic because the screenplay was based off of photos. So the whole process of this has been quite organic. And I don't know about photography collecting in real life, to be honest, because as a professional photographer, my work is more in photographing for brand campaigns and product stuff. And so, and you know, all album art and stuff that's like a little bit more client-based. But I definitely think that this explosion of photography NFTs is real and is going to continue its trajectory, because I think there's a real, when it comes to one-of-one photography, in my opinion, there's no real need for utility. It stands alone as this captured moment, this sort of piece of fine art. And I don't think that there's another medium in the space that does it that well. That's coming from me, who obviously my photos for Keepers of the Inn comes with utility. But the only reason that those photos come with utility is because it's, again, organic. It's like I'm trying to bridge that gap between film and photography. So I don't know. There's just something like, as a collector, even like I've collected tons of photography, and there's just something so magical about seeing an image online and being able to own that moment. And so I think that it's just really, we're poised for photography to continue to explode.
Have you collected physical photography in your life or no?
I mean, yeah, sure. I have, like, not from like a fine art gallery, or I've not dropped a bunch of money. I've spent more money on photography NFTs than I have on in real life photography, but I love having it in my place. But I don't know. Sometimes at night I'll just scroll through my wallet and look at my beautiful photography collection. There's something so gratifying about it.
I agree. I think people are really underestimating the digital world. They're like, you can't touch it. I'm like, guess what? I can look at it in my bed on my phone and not have to get up and put on the lights in my apartment and see my art. Like it's like there's pros and cons to everything. I love physical, but I love digital, and it's a game of and, not or. Speaking about and not or, what do you think the temperature of Hollywood is in its belief of this being a fundraising mechanism for films and creativity versus the classic way? Do you think there's a non-belief in the same way that I thought Hollywood wildly underestimated Netflix and streaming years ago. And I was in many meetings where top people at WMEs and CAAs and studios, I couldn't believe the things that were coming out of their mouth and how much they didn't see what was about to happen. Any thoughts on your intuition on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, well, when I was first putting this project together, the temperature was pretty cool. And I think there was a lot of people rolling their eyes and not taking it seriously. But my distribution company on my film, Utopia, has been amazing. They're kind of like the only people that I talked to that I pitched this concept to that were like, yeah, fuck yeah, this is gonna work. But I do know that this year there are more mainstream producers coming into the space with projects looking for funding. So I'll personally just be curious to see how that plays out. But I think because of that, that Hollywood has now realized there's a way to capitalize. And so I think more people are going to come in now. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it'll be challenging to sift through what's a cash grab and what's coming in for the sake of the art. And that's something that I personally am going to try to help people sift through. I have a good bullshit meter. And yeah, I think now that we've done this successfully as the first film to raise the finances in this way, I think, you know, me and my team really want to preserve the integrity of the art and make sure that it comes first.
But I'm sure you and your team realize that you can't control everybody's human behavior.
No, of course not. But I mean, I can at least speak my truth
and inspire.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Let's talk about that. So you sell out. Do you start getting a lot of random emails over the next day or week?
Yeah, I mean, it was 3 weeks ago today, and it's still, things are still pouring in. But yeah, for sure, it exploded. It was incredibly validating and exciting. I put almost 3,400 of my photos out, and you know, as a creator, sure, how vulnerable of an experience it is to put your artwork out like that. And so the responses have been amazing. Sure, because it's the first film funded, and also because of the utility. But mainly, the thing that's felt the best is just people's response to the artwork and how it's inspiring them and interpretations.
Where do people find it on OpenSea and other platforms?
It's keepersoftheend.art is our website, which can lead you to OpenSea for the secondary sales.
Yeah, for everybody, it's Keepers of the Inn on OpenSea, and it's verified if you're looking for what it is. So are people reaching out with the main question of how did you do this?
Yeah, definitely have gotten a lot of people interested in picking my brain and wanting to know how they can apply it to their film projects, for sure. But I'm happy to talk about that. I love talking about the process. It was so fun, super stressful, but super fun to put this drop together. And I think it's a model that can really work for a lot of people. So I've answered every DM that I've gotten and had a bunch of follow-up calls. I want to spread the word, you know?
What has been the most surprising thing for you in this journey of photography, NFT, as a funding mechanism for a film? What did you not anticipate, even though you probably thought a lot of things through?
I mean, gosh, I think that this is going to sound like so, I did not realize the response to the artwork would be as strong as it's been. Like I was so nervous about it and sort of insecure, because I just like, it's the largest collection. I mean, God, it's like so many photos. And so,
you were worried that there'd be too much supply?
I was worried that there would be, yeah. I mean, I think I did a good job with the additions. Like the biggest addition is of 10. So that I felt good about the additions, but I think, yeah, I think I was, nervous about people picking it apart and, you know, commenting on similarities.
Rose arrives with sub 10, right?
Yeah, that's a set of 10. And so one of the things I did was the additions of 10 are my favorite scenes that I shot. Like I made the ones of 10 are at least like, I feel like the most confident about those scenes, and they're my favorite, and I find them to be the most beautiful. And so Yeah,
I thought number 36, Bridal Falls, was an awesome piece.
Oh yeah, and again, yeah, Bridal Falls, one of my favorite scenes to shoot. Just like a real intensity that we.
By the way, for everybody who's listening, if you go to OpenSea and go to Keepers Inn, just to give you an update, because I'm going to go on and look at it. The price right now of the floor is 0.05, so you're talking about $129. I get bombarded by people asking me, Gary, this stuff is so expensive. Ethereum, like, you know, what's a good value NFT? I think the photography space in general is a good value NFT with the right projects. I mean, Julie has to go out and make this matter to people. You know, obviously it's going to have this historic nature of being one of the first, if not the first, I just haven't done my homework, but it seems like it, to fund this way and sell out. So that might make it collectible. But like every project, the artist and the company need to make people care. So when is the movie, how does the movie play out? Like, when does it come, how does it go?
Yeah, so we're shooting this summer. We have to pick an exact date, but it's at some point towards the end of this summer, and then probably around this time next year, everything will be nice and finished, and we'll do a big event and screening in LA where people can come, or holders can come, or live stream in. We'll set up something.
You're probably thinking through a lot right now of like the 3,000 plus people that are holding, what the benefits are going to be.
I mean, there's extensive utility that now we're just kind of like, now we're just figuring out when to trickle the utility out and what our sort of benchmarks are for everything. But the main thing that we're doing, which I started 2 weeks ago, is every 2 weeks we're going to do a town hall where I'm going to update the community on where I'm at in the creative process and just be candid and share my vision, and hopefully get some of the art collectors to weigh in and let me know their thoughts and help kind of guide me to make the best possible version of this film that I can with the community's support.
What are you worried about?
What am I worried about? I mean, I guess the volatility of Ethereum. That would be,
it's a good one.
Like, I mean,
did you convert the Ethereum into USD so you can start doing your thing?
Yeah, we took what we needed to be able to execute the pressing utility items. But yeah, I mean, that's a thing, and I believe wholeheartedly in NFTs and I and cryptocurrency, and I think it's a long-term thing that's going to last, but just kind of worrying about mainstream's aversion to it and the conflict that comes with that. But that's honestly such a minor thing. And when it comes to the project, I wake up every morning feeling so inspired and excited. And there is.
What about distribution of the film?
So our distribution company is Utopia Films, and they're incredible. It's Robert Schwartzman's company.
Right, you referenced them early. So their enthusiasm has you optimistic that they'll be able to create some magic?
Yeah, for sure. They've believed in me since I showed them my script and my most recent short film. They're like, you've got a vision that we believe in. And so now that they've seen the success and I've been able to prove to them that this is, that this can be done, like, yeah, they're 100% in, and they're on board to help blow it up even more. And when the film's finished, there's now a really amazing story behind the making of the film that I think everyone involved is really excited about.
And Julie, just for all the novices like myself out there in the Hollywood machine, like, does now it become a situation where that company is required as a business partner? You guys have your deal together. They're going to go try to get theatrical versus HBO Max versus, you know, on demand on cable network. Like it really does truly run the gamut, right? Like, it runs the gamut from get every screen of every movie theater in the world, hopefully in a post-COVID world, all the way down to a really solid streaming deal, all the way down to video on demand. If that doesn't work, maybe JetBlue puts it on there. Like, you're just really actually looking for distribution, right?
Yeah, for sure. Once the film's finished and we kind of decide if we're going to go the festival route, they'll act.
Right, because that becomes a real one, right? You can go, I just want to educate everybody here. You may go festival route, which if you win things at Sundance in Toronto, they now all of a sudden buyers get even more interesting. And so some people say, let me go festival route because I think I can win there and that will help people actually want it. Or I might not go that route. I'll just try to go direct and see if my salesmanship can work. Or I just want to be streaming or a million different things in between, correct?
Yeah, and I guess it all really comes down to whether or not I make a good movie. And
or to people's subjective opinions on the other side who have control of the distribution decisions, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Like, right? Like, some movies were, like, maybe critically acclaimed, but, like, the people at the time decided they didn't want to buy it and distribute it. Some of the great movies of all time maybe didn't get the distribution. It could have if one different person made a subjective call, right?
Sure, yeah, sure. And that's why I think it's important that I've got this distribution company that is behind me and my vision and is not going to impede too much on the creative process. And so, but they also have a theatrical deal in place. If the festival route doesn't work, or if we don't want, if there's no other buyers that are making interesting offers, like they'll just self-release it, theatrically, which is amazing because I'm a film purist and I want my picture to be seen on the big screen. I just do. It's just such a special experience.
Oh, I literally only bought these photos because I want to eat popcorn and watch and drink a blue Slurpee and Milk Duds and watch it.
That's a great combo of snacks there. Yeah, definitely.
Like actually, Junior Mints. I'm taking Duds out and putting Junior Mints.
Snow caps are so
legit movie theater life. Yeah. Final thoughts. What did we not get to in this fun little interview? Anything you want to leave people with?
Just stating that as someone who's now hopefully paved this way for more people to come, like, please just get in touch with me. I want to be able to
How do they get in touch with you?
On Twitter at Julie_Pacino. The NFT community, everyone's so accessible and that's what I love about it. And so I'm the same way, and I love talking about the process and geeking out over movies and helping provide whatever insight that I can. So I just love connecting with people, and I hope if anyone listening or anyone that sees my art, likes the art and wants to talk about it, like, please get in touch with me because that's what I live for, honestly.
Julie, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Gary.